Everybody, welcome to a brand spanking new edition of Five and Out. I'm Wes.
I'm Steve.
And this week we have a very kind of awkward top five for you. What is that top five, Steve?
We're counting down the top five TV, video games, and movies that you do not want to watch with your parents, your grandparents, your in-laws.
And this was written in by our good friend Justin, so thank you so much, Justin, for writing that in. But guys, we have so much show coming at you. Let's get to it.
So, Wesley, I've been hitting the XCOM 2 pretty hard this last week.
Awesome. Is it going better for you?
Yeah. The game is much more stable than before.
Sure.
Which is great. But,
Steve, turn off your phone.
These are my soldiers from XCOM. they're calling me right now. We've got some problems back on the ship.
Oh, God. Just tell them to take care of things themselves.
Believe me, they are not capable of doing that.
They're like a needy ex-girlfriend.
My God, they can barely make their shots when they have 92% success rate. Like, Commander! Like, take the shot! Like, I missed it! God damn it! God, yeah. You literally have your gun in the alien's mouth. How have you missed? I got scared. You're about to get real fucking scared, okay? Because that thing is going to eat your brains.
Oh, your brains have been eaten.
There they go.
Oh, wow.
This is obviously classic XCOM where dudes miss their shot, but I had one person that was kind of in a bad spot, and I was like, can't really get a good shot. I'm going to have four dudes on Overwatch, which means as soon as the enemy moves, they all get a free shot to try to kill this dude to cover my one kind of vulnerable person. And I had one dude putting down what they call suppressing fire, which means that the guy basically can't shoot. It's basically what it means. So
sure.
He has to move. So I've got basically my entire team covering this one of my higher up soldiers. I'm like, it's like, don't worry, baby, but you're going to be fine. Mary, listen, I know you got yourself in a bad spot, but baby, I'm your commander.
But I don't
know. Mary,
but
you trust your team, right? You got everyone here. We're all going to work out for you right now.
You promise?
I promise, Mary.
Okay.
Baby, listen, I promise you.
Okay.
I will never let you down.
Oh, thanks, commander.
Then the dude moves. Reaction fire. Blah, 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 blah. Miss. 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 Miss.
Oh, Commander?
Mary? Baby? Baby?
Yeah?
Muffin?
I'm getting a little scared.
I got some bad news for you, Mary. I got some real bad news.
What's the bad news?
You are currently being flanked by a gigantic, super pissed off alien with a plasma rifle.
Commander!
Now, baby, listen to me now.
What do you want me to do?
I'm going to need you to die. Oh, you didn't dodge it. You didn't dodge.
Commander, I'm bleeding out.
You sure are. Well.
Please send somebody with a medikit.
Nope.
But why?
Didn't bring it. Who, doctor? Or lack of doctor? Oh, Mary.
It's getting cold, Commander.
Yeah, that's...
It's getting cold.
And, of course, next shot kills the dude.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you know what? I got to roll with it. It sucks to lose this really valuable asset to my team, but it sucks. And so I go back, and one of the things they add in XCOM 2 is that they have this wall of fallen soldiers. And it shows their name, their stats, their, like, how many kills, whatever. And then you can write their epitaph right there.
Mm-hmm.
So you can basically write a little, you know, why can't I think of, a eulogy, essentially.
Yeah.
So whenever someone dies, I write, like, two sentences just so I remember. Mm-hmm. And I was like, and she was lethal. She was on, like, she'd been on, like, four missions. She killed, like, 18 aliens. She was a killer. And I was like, for her epitaph as the commander, I was like, she was the most lethal soldier I'd ever seen. If any of her goddamn I said if any of her goddamn teammates made their shots, she'd still be alive.
If she wasn't teamed up with these Keystone cops over
here. Seriously. I was like, God damn it. Anyway, so one of the things you can do, that's a nice little feature. They add this little, you know, your wall of fallen heroes because, sure. Oh, it fills up.
Yeah.
But you can also customize your characters much more in-depth than you used to before.
Okay.
Before it was a couple of different armors and, like, a couple of different colors.
Like six heads, I think.
Yeah.
Six faces.
So now way more faces. You can do, like, face paint, scars, different, like, a bunch of different, like, hats, different helmets, different, like, cyborgish kind of all sorts of different stuff, plus all of the DLC content that you can get that, you can turn your dudes into stormtroopers if you want to.
Awesome.
There's a Star Wars armor package, all sorts of cool stuff like that. So I have this one girl that I was going through, and she's like my machine gunner, my grenade launcher girl. She's my heavy. And so I'm going through, and she's German, and I was like, I'm going to give her a shaved head. Yeah, it's going to be cool. And I go through, I'm looking for like a bandana or like something, and I find a hockey mask.
Ooh!
Like a straight-up blood-splattered Jason mask.
Yeah!
And this isn't even part of, like downloadable mod stuff. It comes with the game. And I was like, ooh, I don't know. Like, normally I like to keep them looking more soldier-esque, you know? But I was like, you know what? She's my crazy German explosive artist. Like, I'm gonna do it. So I dress her in all white, shaved head, hockey mask, grenade launcher, machine gun. Ooh. And I gave her like the German audio package.
Uh-huh.
So all her nickname is Psycho. So she just runs into map. She's like, Das Usvens! Shaboosh. I'm like, yeah! Like, she's been wounded like 15 times, never goes down. She is a menace. All she does is blow shit up, and it is awesome.
Oh, man. Just don't put her in a precarious position with a bunch of jackasses.
I mean, my jackasses are less jackassy now. They can at least make a couple shots. They've got better weapons now. But
well, that's good.
It is good.
Yeah.
But, man, I do. God, I love that game. I just love XCOM games in general.
Did I tell you? Oh, by the way, our friend Raphael and I are still playing through XCOM.
Get on it.
We're at the last mission. We just haven't played it in the last month and a half.
Oh.
Yeah. So didn't we tell you that we are on the third Steve now?
What?
Yeah. We've killed you off twice. Accidentally. It's not like we set you out in the middle of everybody just to die like poor Mary. No. No. Just, you know, shit happens. And you die.
You know what? I feel like if I had died, let me be dead.
No. We're going to bring you back as a support.
Just to kill me again?
Yep.
Damn it.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, Wes.
You're welcome. But your wife, Holly, she's our star sniper.
Man.
So, and you're just carrying the med packs.
Sweetheart, can I? Shut up. I'm killing things.
Do you want a Band-Aid?
I've got a bunch. Steve, you're dead again.
Oh!
But the Band-Aids!
Oh, man. Well, I have been playing some Helldivers.
God, that's good.
It is good. But I'm kind of getting done with it. I maybe got one or two play sessions left in me.
Yeah, it's very fun, but it is also very... There's not a lot of diversity in the gameplay.
No, it gets a little repetitive.
Yeah.
Definitely. And I'm at that point now where I've leveled up enough that the early, easy levels aren't fun to do anymore, and you can do those by yourself.
Right.
And the harder levels, you need to go online and play multiplayer, and it's just such a pain in the ass just to join.
Sure.
And even when you do join, like, you sometimes get kicked out accidentally, or your game glitches. Or what happened last night, after a half hour of trying, I finally landed into somebody's game. And when you land into somebody's game, you shoot down in this pod, and if anybody's under it, they get smashed and die. I killed two out of the three people, immediately got booted out of the game.
Thanks for stopping by, Wes.
You know it wasn't my fault, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think it shows on their screen, like, there's real quick, it shows where the thing is going to come down. It's like, Wes is joining the game.
Like, a split second.
Yeah.
Like, Wes is here. Boom.
It's not a lot, but it is something.
It's something, but not enough apparently.
Yeah, yeah. I liked Helldivers a lot. It was a lot of fun. But yeah, it does. It's kind of one note.
Yeah.
A little repetitive on the gameplay after a little while.
So I started playing this game called Super Time Force Ultra. Or you can call it STFU. And that's a type of humor you should expect in this game.
Okay.
It's a really inventive, retro, side-scrolling 2D action shooter. And I say it's inventive because they have this new mechanic I don't think I've ever seen before in a game. It's where you can start every level. You can choose out of one of a number of different characters. You can go through as far as you want, and you can hit timeout. And when you hit timeout, you can rewind all the way to the beginning of the level and bring another character in, or the same character in again. And then you start playing again, but you're playing on top of your first run through of the level. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So you're kind of layering. Every time you bring somebody else in, you're bringing in a second layer, a third layer, a fourth layer on top of what you've already done. And this leads to some very interesting gameplay. For example, there's this character called Shieldy Blockerson. His charged up attack, everybody has a charged up attack, and his attack is he slams a shield down and a shield bubble appears around him, and no shots can penetrate it. What you can do is you can run into the middle of a bunch of enemies, do that, rewind time, get the sniper character out, make her spawn in the middle of that shield bubble, and then just take out enemies all around it. It's super cool. I really dig it. Played it for an hour last night, and I can't wait to start playing it again.
Cool.
It's one of those indie games, man, that it's just a surprise.
Yeah. You know what? As I've really just been focusing on, you know, a couple of games on my PC right now. But, you know, I keep checking to see, just because they always have these awesome deals on stuff. And, man, I mean, you can probably do some of it on your laptop, some of these indie games and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, right now, there's an indie game Humble Bundle right now.
It's so hard to say.
It is. But, I mean, you games right up your alley for, like, $2, mm-hmm. you know, for 6 games or whatever.
Sure.
Something like that. So, I know you like indie games. I know you like cheap things.
Mm-hmm.
So
I do love cheap things.
So maybe something to look into.
Cheap video games, cheap dates, cheap sushi.
Oh,
yeah. Love it.
Cheap dates at cheap sushi. Oh, girl. Yeah.
Can I get the dozen sushi rolls for $2?
I'd like the ones from 2 weeks ago, please.
That's right.
Ugh.
No, and I want the salmon. I want the tuna rolls.
Ugh,
yeah.
God. Mm-hmm. Nothing worse than like 2-day-old sushi.
Love it.
My God.
With week-old wasabi sauce.
Oof. Wasabi sauce?
Yeah, that's what I call it.
Yeah, it's just wasabi, homie.
I don't know. Well, you know, I'm stupid.
Real quick, I don't know if I may have told you this at one point. One of my favorite sushi stories, when my wife and I, girlfriend at the time, when we were in college,
mm-hmm.
Having ourselves a little bit of sushi. You know, you got your little ginger on the side. You got a little wasabi on the side. She put a little wasabi on the top of her sushi roll. And she took a bite, and apparently I said something just hilarious at the moment. And she laughed and inhaled the wasabi up into her nose.
Oh, my God.
So she's like, oh! And I was like, Jesus, what happened? She's like, she like spits the sushi out. I was like, what happened? She's like, the wasabi went up my nose into my sinuses. I was like, oh, that's hilarious.
And you're like, maybe this isn't the right time, but will you marry me?
Baby, I've never loved you more than I love you right now. Man, that was real bad for her,
yeah.
But real funny for me.
Oh, man. The only other thing I wanted to bring up before we get into the emails is I went to see a play last week. Really good play here in Chicago called Cocked. And I want to hear your opinion on this. The play ends with an open ending. There's a blackout. There's a bunch of characters on stage. There's a blackout, a gunshot, and the play ends. The play had been so good, so intense, yet so funny up until that point. And the play had been building to this climax for the past hour and a half. And it finally happens. Blackout, gunshot, then nothing. Curtain call. As the actors bow, what the hell just happened?
Well, I mean, I can't judge the ending without knowing what, like, if this is a play about John Wilkes Booth I'm pretty sure I know what happens, and I know what the gunshot is, and
what is a play about John Wilkes Booth?
Good.
But not the story you think.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that's a good ending or a bad ending, because I don't know.
Basically, there's this person, there's a knock on the door, presumably from this person that the main characters have been antagonizing throughout the whole show. There's a knock on the door. Most of the characters get behind the couch and, like, steal themselves with guns. One character opens the door, blackout. Gunshot. Nothing. So we don't know if the person behind the door shot, if one of the characters shot the person behind the door, if one of the characters accidentally shot one of the other characters.
Yeah, I can't tell you if it's good or not. I don't know.
Okay, but my question is, how do you feel about open endings in general? Just how do you feel about the author being like, you know what? You choose what happened.
How do I feel about that?
How do you? That's what I just asked you.
Yeah. I'm trying to let that sink in, and I think it kind of depends on the tone of the story that is being told to me.
How do you mean?
Like, if I'm watching something like, Terminator, you know, or like some sort of like action-ish type thing that isn't necessarily a really intelligent style script, which... Terminator's fantastic, but you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
It's not playing like intellectual games with me, sort of thing, like challenging what's real, challenging what's not, like what I expect, what I don't. If it's a pretty linear kind of story, and then at the end they just drop this, like, oh, no, I don't know, did Sarah Connor get away or did she not? It's like, ah, fuck you. That's bad. But if it's something where a guy is kind of like battling some sort of like, a memento style kind of thing, maybe, where it's much more of like a thriller and you don't know what's real and what's not. Like stories like that then leave kind of an open, vague thing, because the entire time you've never really known what's been happening anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm okay with that if that's the kind of world that we've set up that we're going to be in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay with that.
I am not okay with open endings. I think it is, I'm going to say, the most inflammatory, absolute thing that I've ever said in the podcast. I think that open endings are the work of lazy, indecisive writers, because I feel that the narrative structure, the narrative structure is stasis, initial action, then drama, a dramatic rising of that action, climax, resolution. And we've talked before about how hard it is to end things, and it is. It's difficult.
Really
difficult. It's hard to end things. But open endings to me is just to me, it seems that the writer's just like, well, I don't know how to end it, so I'm just going to end right at the initial climax, and then the audience can figure it out. Like the ending of The Sopranos. Have you heard about that?
Yes, I've heard of it.
Got
it. I've heard it. That was on Cartoon Network, right?
Yeah, it was on Cartoon Network.
Yeah.
Yep. Sopranos, followed by The Altos.
Yeah.
A sequel series.
Gross. I didn't watch the one that comes to my mind right now is No Country for Old Men.
Oh God,
which I know you hate.
That wasn't an open ending. We just didn't see the climax. That ending was decisive.
Yeah.
We just didn't see the climax.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know, man. I think anything done well, I'm okay with.
Okay.
I'm not okay with shitty open endings. I'm not okay with shitty endings in general.
Sure.
Like, if it's done well, I guess I would prefer the resolution, I suppose.
Yeah.
But sometimes it is more important to the story that is being told that perhaps there is no, like, not all stories have this bow at the end of them, you know, with this decisive end, that there's some things that are just like, this is a glimpse into time of this, like, whatever. It's 2 hours of this person's life. That's what it is. It doesn't necessarily really have a beginning or an end. It's just this section of time. Like,
sure.
So things like that, yeah, I'm fine with. But I agree. There are definitely lazy endings, and it's just like, I don't know how to end it, so I just won't. Like,
yeah.
I agree. I don't like that. But I think anything done well, I don't hate open endings as a fact.
Mm-hmm.
I hate them all. if it's an open ending, I hate it. That's not the case. I feel like I generally dislike them more than I like them, but I don't hate them.
I see. I have not seen an open ending yet that I've been like, I'm okay with that. Because to me, open endings would be like at the end of the Avengers. They're circled up in New York, all the superheroes, and Captain America says, all right, you do this, you do that, you do this, you do that. Hulk, smash. Hulk flies off. Credits. Well, what just happened? What? You just cut it off. There's no...
Well, I feel like at that one, if you're going off your structure, you're going off your structure, then you never achieved climax.
I mean,
that was the climax of the movie, and I feel like that the resolution off of it is very short after that climax.
Maybe that's a problem. Maybe I have narrative blue balls.
That's it.
That's got to be it.
That's it.
We all hate blue balls.
Maybe that's a five to do in the future. Top five open endings.
Well, Steve, as I just covered, I don't like any open endings, so I can't think of one, let alone five open endings. This is quite possibly the worst idea you've ever... You know what? I got a great top five. Top five Steve's worst ideas. This would be number one.
I'll tell you what. That is not the worst idea I've ever had.
I mean, we've had some of your best ideas, which is the Fast and the Furious, Police Academy reboot.
Dude, I am telling you, Police Academy would make bank right now. I am telling you. I don't care. Whatever.
I can't get over it, man. I'm sorry for all of you out there who love open endings so much that you just write stories just to have open endings.
Write in. Tell us some of your favorite open endings. Give us good examples of good open endings. Or to enrage Wes.
Please. I don't get angry enough on this show.
It's true.
And when I do get angry, as it was pointed out last week, I just laugh more. But not about open endings. I am infuriated, sir.
Well, speaking of writing in, we got some emails from our last week podcast.
Ooh, nice segue. Yes, we got some top fives written in from last week, which was our top five what properties we want into an HBO miniseries.
Right.
To be adapted into. I'm doing that thing where I just drop words out of sentences that you pointed out last week.
Oh, I see. Nothing's changed.
Yep. But anyway, Brian writes in his top five. His number five is Frey from Dark Horse Comics.
I am not familiar with that comic.
It is kind of a sequel series to Buffy the Vampire Slayer. It's about Frey, this futuristic vampire slayer, and it's a really good story.
Yeah?
And I would love to see it. His number four is Masks by Dynamite Comics. Masks is a superhero team like no other. Its members are exclusively Golden Age heroes. The guys who inspired the creation of superheroes we know and love, such as The Shadow, Green Hornet, and Zorro. Oh, interesting.
Wow, that's quite a combo.
Yeah.
That's quite a combo. I don't imagine... See, to me, Zorro doesn't seem like a dude that pairs well with other dudes.
Sure.
Zorro's kind of that lone wolf out there, you know?
Yeah. I'm trying to think. I don't know hardly anything about these characters.
Green Hornet, Antonio Banderas is a dreamboat.
Well,
I already knew that.
Thank you.
Actually, I used to watch Black and White Zorro with my mom. It was on like Nick at Night or something like that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, like kind of swashbuckling Zorro. It was fun.
Awesome. The only thing I used to watch on Nick at Night was the Jeffersons.
Really?
Yep. Oh, I loved it.
Okay.
Well, what?
I always watched the opening credits to Green Acres. I never watched a single episode of Green Acres, but Green Acres was on after Looney Tunes. Looney Tunes was the last thing of Nickelodeon as it went into Nick at Night. And it was, Green Acres is the place for me. Like, farm living is the life for me.
I'm still laughing at how thrown off you were by me saying I used to watch the Jeffersons every night.
It's just not at all what I thought you would say you'd watch.
Oh, man. His number three is Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. I'd like to see that.
I mean, are we doing the kids show again, or is this kind of a Christopher Nolan version of Power Rangers?
See, I want to see the Christopher Nolan version, but I think what he wants is just the basic storyline of like the first few seasons done right. on HBO.
All right.
His number two is Shadowrun, a tabletop RPG.
Not familiar either?
I'm not familiar with it either, but he says it's basically your normal D&D tabletop RPG.
Okay.
You know, dwarves, elves, and the like. But it's set in the future. Like Deus Ex.
Hmm.
So I think that'd be interesting.
Absolutely, man. I'm always down for new games to play. So
like fantasy and sci-fi put together.
What?
I love it.
Fantify?
Fantify.
Science-y? Science-y doesn't sound too good.
I'm not going to go see that.
No.
His number one is Bioshock Infinite.
Oh.
Yeah, we know that one.
Yes, we do. We certainly do.
Certainly do.
I was thinking about the original Bioshock when we were talking about this last week. I thought about it. I was like, I don't know if that will translate. But I didn't even think about Bioshock Infinite, actually.
Yeah?
Do you think that would translate well to a series?
An HBO miniseries?
Yeah.
Yes, but I don't know where you could take the story outside of what was presented in the video game.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it might be cool just to see it played out live action.
Yeah.
And you are deep in thought.
I am deep in thought.
It is really hurting you.
Well, I think one of the kind of the hallmarks of Bioshock, both the first one and in Infinite, is it's imperative that you are the first person, you know, because you are kind of unraveling the mystery of what is around you through his eyes, through your own eyes. So I'm just trying to think about now putting it into this position, obviously, where you're watching an actor portray the character that is supposed to represent the audience. And
what if it was in first person, the miniseries?
Oh, so it would just be somebody playing Bioshock Infinite recording it?
Yeah.
now we're talking.
And you put it on HBO. It's the cheapest show ever.
I mean, the songbird, to see that realized in a show.
Ooh, that'd be cool.
Would be really, really cool. Yeah. And Elizabeth is a really cool character.
Mm-hmm.
So to see that realized would be cool. And to see the very end of the game, some of the visuals at the end of the game are really cool.
Seeing Elizabeth a little bit more in on the action would be really cool.
Yeah.
Instead of just running and hiding. And
yeah.
Sometimes opening up rifts.
Yeah. Like the rifts would be really cool. And kind of the discovery about halfway through the game when you start noticing you're supposed to be in this kind of 1920s-ish world, but you keep seeing these kind of modern things pop up. And you're like, what the hell is going on? I mean, there's so many great things about Bioshock Infinite that, I mean, I could see why that's a good pick. I'm just wondering.
I think they could tweak the story enough that it would still be interesting for us who have played the game.
Yeah.
Remember that mysterious couple that keeps popping up and so cryptic? They could do so many different things with those guys.
Yeah.
And the action. I mean, the action in Bioshock Infinite, like, it never felt repetitive, but you're always just shooting a bunch of dudes.
Yeah.
But they could do so many different things with all the powers and stuff in the HBO miniseries.
Yeah, that's true. Then you're going to add in the what are they called?
I'm thinking phantasms, but that's not right.
Sure is right. that's my favorite part of Bioshock Infinite. The phantasms.
The flora, the fauna.
Okay, we're done here.
No, the salts. No, that's what you.
No.
What were they called?
They're not elixirs. They are. If there's only a way to find out.
Man, if only there was.
But we also got some other emails while I looked this up.
We did. Duncan Parker Newton Gaines.
Duncan Parker Newton Gaines.
Duncan Parker Newton Gaines. He says, fun fact, my boss has a dog named Duncan as well.
No way.
Who is super cute and well-behaved.
Do we work at the same place?
And he also says, I do not make my fiancé say my full name during sex.
Well, that's your fault.
Well, I make any woman I have sex with call me Duncan Parker Newton Gaines.
Always. Vickers.
Vickers, that's right.
Wait.
I thought you said Vickers.
No, Vickers.
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 Well, that's kind of a dumb name.
You need to shut up and read Duncan Parker Newton Gaines' email.
All right, number five is Warhammer 40K.
Cool. All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that all I have to say?
Yeah,
cool. Great.
I mean, they've made like 15 video games out of it, plus the board game.
Sure.
Or the miniatures game.
Is that the tabletop RPG?
It's not an RPG. It's a game. There may also be an RPG part of it too, but originally it was the little miniatures that you put out, and it's like a it's a giant battle scenario that you are playing out, and you roll dice and that sort of thing.
Got it. His number four is Street Fighter. I think they pretty much killed it with the 90s movie.
Yeah, it's hard to top perfection, Duncan Parker Newton Gaines. Thank you. Did you see JCVD as Guile?
The all-American hero?
Man, the all-American Brussels hero.
His number three is The Legend of Zelda. I don't know why this hasn't been adapted.
Man. Honestly, is Zelda the highest rated game series of all time, do you think?
I don't know. Probably.
I mean, I feel like every single Zelda game that comes out gets tens or nine and a halves or whatever. Oh, a new modern classic, a new classic, a new classic.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like every single one is done very, very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that bar is very, very high.
Who would you cast as Link, do you think?
Duncan Parker Newton Gaines.
Duncan
probably.
Parker Newton Gaines. Zac Efron.
Obviously, good choice.
Yeah, totally.
Really good. These are my two choices. Either Zac Efron or The Rock.
Man, they are cut from the same cloth.
They sure are.
Wow. His number two is Doctor Strange. I am not familiar enough with the Doctor Strange, but he says, well, he does have a movie coming out next year.
With Benedict Cumberbatch.
Benedict Cumberbatch. I think he'd be a character perfect for a Monster of the Week style show that could be very entertaining.
Cool.
Which is right up my alley.
From what I understand of Doctor Strange, his name is fitting. Like, everything within the Avengers world has, they've kind of made it fit together. I know that Thor is a not Swedish, like Scandinavian,
Norse.
Norse god come to Earth. Okay, but it kind of works. From what I understand about Doctor Strange, it's like, shit's about to get weird.
Yeah.
Like, this dude, are you crazy?
Oh, but I think it's going to be good because they have already introduced the fact that magic exists in this universe, I think, with the Scarlet Witch. So, you know,
yeah,
I think it could work.
Yeah, man, I don't know. I just feel like they've got, there's just so many balls in the air with Marvel right now to juggle. I worry about them crashing down, seeing which ones they're going to drop.
Sure, sure. Well, we'll just have to see it through together, Steve.
I guess. You know, man, I say all the time, like, you know, there's so many of these superhero movies. I'm so sick of just so many of them coming out. And then Deadpool came out. Oh, I can't wait to go see Deadpool.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like Avengers 2. Oh, I got to go see Avengers 2.
Yeah, yeah.
And this came out. I'm like, I'm such a slave to the system. Man.
You try to be strong, but they keep pulling you back in.
I know, but there's still some that I didn't see Ant-Man in theaters.
Man, way to buck the system.
Yeah. Fuck you, Marvel. I only saw it the first day it was out on Redbox.
That's right.
Yeah. man. But the thing is, I mean, it's part of the marketing strategy is you are invested in the universe. That's one of the brilliant things that they've done, that like now you're not watching Captain America movies. You're not watching, you know, Spider-Man movies on the other side, whatever. I guess you would be watching Spider-Man movies, really.
Yeah.
But you're not watching Iron Man movies now. You're watching to make sure it all fits in the universe to get this one giant ride. And if you miss one, you're going to miss. They're somehow making superhero movies episodic, which is insane. But crazy.
But his number one is The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, one of his favorite book series, he says.
Cool, man. Nice. Duncan Parker Newton Gaines.
Duncan Parker Newton Gaines.
Duncan Parker Newton Gaines. Makes love like a champion.
Yeah. Thank you all so much for writing in. As always, we love hearing what you guys have to say.
Actually, Wes, we are not done.
What?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
We have someone else that wrote in. And in fact, he wrote in, and it will be the top five we are about to do right now.
What?
Yes, this is a friend of the show. This is one of my wife's college girlfriends, her husband, and he's one of the first.
You lost me.
I know. It's so I'm married.
Okay.
To a woman.
You lost me.
Ah, tough, tough to get you from here.
Yeah.
So, he's one of the. I don't know how to put this in the nice way where it's like, oh, this is, you know, one of the other husbands, you know, like that sort of thing. You go to these parties, you're like, I don't really know anyone. Oh, hey, what's up, husband?
They stuck you the husbands in the husband coop.
Yeah, honestly, it's like, oh, the beer's over in the corner, husbands go. And I'm like, oh, man, I'm a middle-aged man. And I went over, I was like, oh, shit, dude, I really dig you. Like, I would like to be friends with you, even if our wives weren't really good friends.
Yeah, yeah.
So he wrote in one this week to me. He's like, hey, have you guys, this is how he set it up. He said, have you guys ever done top five worst movies to watch with your mom, grandparents, / in-laws, anything like that? And I said, no, but we're about to. So the setup to me for this one, I imagine, this is how I put myself in here. I imagine going to my in-laws' house, and we're there for a long weekend, whatever.
Sure.
And we're downstairs, like, let's watch a movie. And my, like, my mother-in-law goes, I had heard a lot about blank movie. Let's watch this. And
okay.
Puts it, and what I'm looking for are the movies that make me go, no.
Yeah.
No, don't, no, no, no. Mm-hmm. That's where I went with this.
One of the movies that I watched with my mom made my list because it was just so uncomfortable. So I imagined other movies that if I had watched with my mom would make me feel the same way.
Okay.
Some for different reasons.
Okay. So as we go along, Justin also gave me his top five as well. So we're going to throw his top five in with our top five.
Ooh, this is unprecedented.
I know.
We're changing the game at 120 some odd podcasts.
We're adding a non-in-studio guest via text.
Ooh, man.
Wow. Open up the text line.
Yeah, we're not even going to read it. We're just going to hold the phone up to the microphone.
Okay, so I'm actually going to – I'll start with Justin.
Justin, if you take my fucking number one.
So, and I will – I have this in text,
okay.
So you can see it. His number five, please, no, I don't want to watch this with you, would be watching the movie Secretary.
Okay, it's not on my list.
And so I've never seen Secretary.
Justin, I think you mean Executive Assistant.
Thank you. So I know the basic concept of Secretary. Secretary is basically 50 Shades of Grey.
Okay.
The way it probably should have been done.
Oh, okay.
James Spader is the boss, and Maggie Gyllenhaal is the secretary that comes in, and then I don't know exactly how they stumble upon it, but he basically becomes like this dominant, you know.
Say no more. I can imagine it right now.
So it becomes that sort of like possessive sexual nature between those two. Again, I've not seen the movie, but from what I understand, there's some scenes in that movie. I know for sure there is a spanking scene.
Ooh, yeah.
Where Spader just really gives her the old spanky panky. That's what I call it, starting now. You know that thing everybody knows about?
Yeah.
You know.
Right? Right,
don't look
guys?
Don't look at me that way. You all know the real spanky panky.
Girl, do you want to come back to my place, you know, light some candles, put on some music? I'll give you the old spanky panky.
Why? Who are you calling? Why are you calling the police?
Where you going?
Girl, why are you calling the cops on me?
Come on. Everybody calls it that.
Come on. You've been spanky panky before.
Yeah, look at you. You clearly have.
I'm sorry. You're right. Oh, boy.
Okay. This is okay. I'll call the cops on myself.
So that's Justin's number five.
Wow.
So my number five.
Stevie, you take my fucking number one. I swear to God.
My number five is, it's on my list for a very specific reason. And it is The Room.
Okay.
Okay. There you go, Wes. You made it 1 week without me stealing your number one with my number five.
See, my number one and number two, they're at some risk of being stolen.
Okay. This is why I put The Room on there. Not because The Room technically is the worst film ever made. Not because of that.
The Room?
The Room.
Yeah. What's The Room?
The
is
room.
That with Tommy Wiseau?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
What did you think it was?
I thought it was Room you were talking about.
No. It is The Room. That's the one I'm talking about.
I just blocked that movie from my memory.
See, this is why it's on my list. Because, you know, mother-in-law, like, I've heard a lot about this movie. I want to put this in. The reason I'm going to say this is on my list is because Holly is immediately going to go, oh, Steve loves The Room. And then they're going to watch it, and then everyone is going to look at me and be like, you like this movie? I'm like, now, wait, hold on a second. Now, hold on. Don't you all rush to judgment on old Steve here.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're all getting spanky-pankied.
wait, why you call the police?
I'm sorry. I when I first saw The Room, I watched The Room like four times that weekend because I thought it was hysterical. I thought The Room was amazingly funny. Amazingly funny. However, I feel like people's parents or my parents or most people will not think it is funny. They will just think it is the worst movie ever made. And they're not wrong. It is horrible.
Mm-hmm.
It is truly astonishingly horrible. And I know the people that I'd be watching it with would not find the humor. And I would.
Yeah.
And it would make for one of the most awkward viewing experiences of my entire life. That is why I put The Room at number 5, is because I think it's funny. And the people I'd be watching it with would not.
I remember watching The Room, and maybe I watched it with just the wrong people. Because I think I watched it with just one other person. And I think he was either drunk or something else, and he was kind of out of commission. So it was pretty much just me watching The Room by myself.
It's a tough way to go, man.
It is a tough way to go.
Yeah.
I don't like that at all.
There should actually be a warning on the side of the box.
Yeah.
Like, not to be watched by yourself under any circumstances.
If you're watching this by yourself, call somebody.
Please.
Yes.
God.
Here's a hotline.
Yeah. So my number 5 is The Room.
My number 5 is this little movie called Hard Candy.
I remember you telling me about Hard Candy. I've never seen it.
It's all about child seduction and child molestation. Yep. Just let that sink in for a good few minutes.
I've heard a lot about this movie.
Yeah. Ellen Page stars, and I forget who the actor's name in it is. It's a two-person movie. I don't think there's anybody else in it. If there is, it's been years since I've seen it, so I don't know. Anyway, so it's about this older man trying to seduce this younger woman, let's say 14, 15-year-old, to have sex with him. He gives her alcohol.
And how old would you say he is, roughly?
Let's say 30-ish.
Okay.
Yeah. So he's trying to get her in the sack, and
Patrick Wilson.
Oh, from The Conjuring,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Insidious, I think?
Sure,
yeah.
But anyway, so that's uncomfortable enough as it is. But then she starts torturing him, and then she drugs him and he passed out, so she starts doing all these mind games with him, and it's revealed that he's done this in the past with her friend. Sorry, spoiling Hard Candy, by the way. And there's this castration scene.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yep.
No.
This happens.
No.
In the movie. Can you imagine? You've met my mother.
I have.
Can you imagine sitting there and watching it with my mother? Just her going, "What is this I'm watching?"
Well, Mom, let me explain it to you.
All right.
This man's balls going bye-bye. Is that clear enough, Mama?
It's a common practice with farmers, the sheep castration. That's what we're watching. So that's my number 5.
You know what? That's a nice universal pick because, yeah, you don't want to watch that with your mom. To be honest, I don't want to watch that with anybody, including myself. I don't. You know what, Steve? I'm out of here, dude.
Your wife tells this funny story. She watched it with some of my old roommates when we used to live at this place called 440. And our friend Laura at the time, they watched this movie, and Laura said, "I just really want to be that girl."
Oh, boy. The entire town collectively, the gentleman went,
"Ooh, no."
Close their legs a little bit.
Yeah.
Let's
take
nothing.
All the rubber bands out of the city.
God, no.
It's terrible, man.
Ugh.
So my number 5, Hard Candy.
Man, awful.
It is.
So this is
Should we stop the podcast now?
Justin's number 4, a movie I've actually not seen, and it's a disservice, but it is The Wolf of Wall Street.
I haven't seen it either.
We're a bunch of lame asses.
I've always known that about you.
I know gratuitous sex scenes. I know some weird sexual business going on there.
Ooh,
as well.
Drug use.
As well as lots of drug use. Also, a long movie as well. So you're in that for the long haul with the in-laws. you're sitting down there for 3 hours watching this stuff go down. Mm-hmm. So I think both on content as well as duration, very strong pick from Justin.
Sure, sure.
Very strong. My number four, I'm going to go with this movie's on the list for a couple different reasons.
Tell me.
This one stars a younger Christian Bale. And this is going to be none other than American Psycho.
I thought of this one.
And so the main reasons American Psycho makes the list is because Christian Bale plays Patrick Bateman, I believe is the character name.
Sure.
And he's a successful Wall Street guy and becomes a serial killer.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got some sexual stuff going on here. He brings a lady of the night up to his place, and I believe he makes her have lesbian sex, I believe, with another woman right
yep.
before he kills one of them. Mm-hmm. So you see a lot of Christian Bale butt in this movie.
Yeah.
You see you got some titties.
Oh, yeah.
Which is always a plus no matter what the conditions, in my opinion.
Hey, Christian Bale butt. Hey, not
always
bad either.
You know what? That's a plus in the books as well.
Yeah.
But, again, like you're with your mom or your mother-in-law. You're like, hey, check out that butt, huh? Huh? Am I right, Mom? Sweet butt, huh?
Check out those titties, in-laws.
Huh? Huh? You know, like a gentleman.
Yeah.
And this is, it's like, okay, that's fine, that's fine. We got some literal TNA. And then we have chainsaw murders.
Yep.
We have blood splatters all over the place. We have towards the end of the movie, just a murderous rampage where he runs around blowing things up, shooting people in the face, all that good stuff.
Yep.
But here's the main reason that it is on the list. The ending of American Psycho is notoriously pretty poor. Talk about kind of an open-ended ending there. Mm-hmm. The ending is not very good. So once you're done watching American Psycho, you have to talk about American Psycho. So as soon as you're done, you'd be like, yeah, well, I'm going to go out to the car.
Yeah.
Like, so, I mean, what do you think the real... Do you think...
Like, can't hear you, bye!
Was that all in his mind? Or did he actually rape and murder and kill and this? It's like... well, based on the blood splatters, you know, it's this movie forces you into an even longer post-movie conversation.
Like a post-mortem, as it were.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. So you're going to see just a lot of 80s excess style living with a lot of murder, a lot of blood splatters, a lot of tits, a lot of ass. And I don't want to watch it with the in-laws.
No.
Or my moms.
No.
Don't want it.
And your mom's really cool.
She's real cool.
Yeah, yeah. She'd be like, I think he killed them all.
Mom, I think you're right. See you never.
All right. My number four is this movie made in 1981. It is the American Pie before American Pie. It's this movie called Porky's.
Really?
Have you seen this movie?
Yeah.
Dude, titties are flying.
Yeah.
Dongs are flying.
Yeah.
There's... What was her name? Something like Ball Buster?
Ball
Bricker? Something like that?
That I don't remember.
Just a dude puts his pee-pee through a glory hole, and this huge trunch bowl-like woman grabs it and just starts pulling on it so hard, in which all the men watching it cringe. And
yeah.
Then just doing that, just watching that with my mom, I cannot even imagine. And plus, it's all about people losing their virginity. They try and, you know, get some prostitutes and all that. And it's just uncomfortable.
Yes. But I feel like Porky's feels so dated when
really?
You watch it. Yeah.
I haven't seen it in like 10 years.
Yeah. Didn't it feel dated when you watched it, though?
Well, yeah, a little bit. It was made in 81.
Yeah, I know. But I just feel like it's... It's like even I know Animal House wouldn't make this list, but you know, like oh, the really raunchy, you know, pushing the envelope humor, say of a you know of like an Animal House at the time. Now you watch, you're like, oh yeah, I mean it's funny, but it's much more tame than I think it was at the time.
Sure,
and like Porky's almost it's so I don't know, it's kind of so old and for lack of a better term, dated to it. Like watching it, it's almost like man. well, these crazy kids. You know, like, I don't know, it just doesn't feel threatening to me. I think threatening. It feels kind of a, oh, God, I was about to make a terrible reference. I didn't mean to.
I want to hear it.
God, I was about to say, it kind of feels neutered.
Oh, no, Steve.
I know.
When was the last time you watched Porky's?
I probably watched Porky's when I was, I don't know, like 15 or something.
And already you were like, puh, seen better.
I mean, yeah, well, talking about, like, it was the American Pie before the American Pie. I mean, that was, like, prime American Pie time. Mm-hmm. And dude's fucking an apple pie, you know, like, it's like, yeah, the glory hole thing, fine. It's more like a peephole, I suppose, that he...
Yeah, but whereas American Pie had,
titties,
you know,
in that, too.
Well, there was one scene with titties.
Shannon Elizabeth, sweet, sweet titties.
I'm not knocking the boobs.
Man,
I'm
that
just
is,
saying,
those. Let's just take 1 second.
Let's take 1 second.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
All right. Now, but there's way more breasts in Porky's, plus there's a dong hanging out.
Yeah. No, I mean, I
plus there's prostitutes everywhere. I may be remembering this wrong, but...
And then there was the gigantic ceremonial murder scene.
That's right.
The mass execution.
And there was the giant demon with the big swinging dick. I may be jumbling up movies now.
But I'm pretty sure that was in Porky's.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I mean, I understand why. And, like, if it were 1985, I would agree with you. But I feel like 35 years later, I don't feel like it has the same bite that it did.
Well... That is, I don't feel that way.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Because Porky's is my number one.
Oh, no!
moving to Justin's number three, it's a real good pick.
Yeah.
And it is Girl with a Dragon Tattoo.
I've never seen it.
Man, I have seen it. And this is on here for one very, very specific, it's like a two-part scene.
Is it near the beginning of the movie?
No, I think it's kind of middle-ish of the movie, I think.
Okay.
I think.
I read the book. Never seen the movie.
Well, I think if you don't know about this, that's fine. There's going to be a quick spoiler for you. Go for a minute and a half or whatever. It is when it's the rape scene.
Yep.
That it's very, it's tough to watch. It's bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bad scene. And then it is the follow-up scene after that, where she gets her vengeance on the guy who raped her. Because what is she? She, like, carves into his chest, I think.
I think in the book she tattoos him.
Oh, it's a tattoo. I think that's right. That's what it is. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So a very good pick, I think, for number three. It's a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
It is a good movie.
I don't even want to read the book in front of my mom. So
what are you reading? Oh! Berenstain Bears!
50 Shades of Grey!
Really, Wes? You're like, nice. Good cover, Wes.
Nailed it.
Good cover. Now she only thinks I'm gay. Awesome. So Justin's number three was Girl with a Dragon Tattoo.
It's a good pick.
However.
Oh, boy.
It lacks in comparison to my number three.
See, Justin, this is what happens.
Which I honestly, if you ask me what I truly believe the worst movie ever made is, I believe it is this movie. And it is all... It is going to be super uncomfortable to watch for other reasons as well, just besides it being just awful. And it is the movie Freddy Got Fingered. It is the worst movie I've ever seen in my whole life.
Oh, my God.
This is the Tom Green vehicle of, what, the late 90s.
Yeah.
Someone greenlit Tom Green to write a movie and star in it.
God, do you remember when he was... famous?
Yeah.
Like, real famous?
Yep, I do.
And he was just weird.
Still, yeah. Yeah, and this is a very good example of that.
Yeah.
There's a lot in here to be really thrown off by, because the whole thing is just... It is insultingly awful. Actually, one of my favorite things about this movie is is Roger Ebert's review of this movie. He says, this is one of the worst movies that has ever... I'm going to paraphrase here. It's like one of the worst movies that has ever existed. He says, this isn't the bottom of the barrel. This isn't below the bottom of the barrel. This movie doesn't deserve to be spoken of in the same breath as Barrels. It's like, nice, Roger Ebert. Nice.
Yeah, yeah.
There's one scene in particular that jumps to mind that I don't want to watch with anybody. and it is his brother. He and his brother build this little half pipe skateboarding ramp, and his brother goes in and he falls and he has a compound fracture. So the bone of his shin is poking out of his skin, and Tom Green, his brother is screaming, shrieking. And Tom Green goes, oh, brother, I don't know what to, and he touches it, and then he puts his mouth next to the bone and starts licking the bone protruding from his leg.
What?
Yes. This is also the movie where he finds a dead roadkill deer on the side of the road. He puts it on like a giant robe and walks around in the street and gets hit by a truck and gets flown back like 200 feet, and then we never talk about that again. He dates a paraplegic woman. Paraplegic? That's when just your legs don't work?
Yes.
Yeah, quadriplegic is all for it. Paraplegic girl in a wheelchair, and she gets off by having her legs caned.
What?
Yes. This sounds like it's lunacy, because it is lunacy. So this girl has an orgasm while Tom Green smacks her in the legs with a bamboo stick.
Little known fact, that girl, Meryl Streep.
She won an Oscar for this role, actually. She did. She's very, very good. There's the daddy, do you want some sausage scene?
Yep, you've told me about that.
Classic scene. It is, and then at one point, the reason that this movie is called Freddy Got Fingered is because he's fighting with his dad, and they're talking to us like a counselor or something. He's like, oh, yeah, and my brother Gordy fingered me when I was a boy. And he's like, no, I didn't. He's like, yes, you did, Gordy. And then the entire movie changes, and like his brother has to go to like this. It is bizarre. It is horrible.
Hearing you describe it makes me physically uncomfortable.
It is so awful.
Yeah.
It is the worst movie that has ever been made.
Oof.
So,
is it up there with Deathstalker?
Oh, this is wit. I mean, I know you joke.
Careful. Tread lightly.
That I gave Deathstalker a higher rating than you thought it deserved. Seriously, it is not even in the only two movies I think that are in like cahoots down there are really Freddy Got Fingered, and if you want to look at it analytically, The Room.
Okay.
They are atrocious. Atrocious.
Okay.
So I don't want to watch Freddy Got Fingered, much less with my in-laws, my mom, my grandmother. I want to watch it with nobody ever again.
Got it.
It is so many cringe-worthy moments. And it, for some reason, makes me feel like I have to find some way to, like, defend something or say something about it. But there's nothing to be said.
Yeah.
There's not, when he's licking the dude's exposed bone, there's, you're going to be like, ah, well, I, that Tom Green. I got nothing. There's nothing to say.
No. It sounds like a terrible movie.
It's the worst.
Great. So, Netflix review?
Okay, I can't do it. Cannot do it.
Steve will burn the Netflix reviews down.
I can't do it. I cannot watch it.
Well, that's your number three.
Yes.
Okay, let's never talk about it again.
Thank you.
Great. My number three is this movie. I actually watched part of it with my mom. She recommended it, and it was so...
So it was a perfect scenario.
Yes. It was so awkward. Bridesmaids.
Really?
Yep. Because the movie starts out with a really awkward sex scene. It's supposed to be awkward. But a really awkward sex scene between Kristen Wiig and John Hamm. And just how awkwardly... just how fast he goes. She's like, oh, slow down. And it's just so awkward. And that's how the movie opens. And then Kristen Wiig and what's her friend's name, the actress?
Megan McCarthy?
No. Her best friend in the movie, the one who's getting married. Then the very next scene is them talking about blowjobs and how weird penises are. And just...
Am I right, Mom?
Right, Mom?
Man, penises, huh, Mom?
Yeah. And it's like, we both, I don't even want to get into it. Like, it's just one of those things that you don't talk about with your parents. They're like, oh yeah, I get that joke. You get that joke, but we don't talk about the fact that we both get that joke. And what's that?
Maya Rudolph is her name.
Maya Rudolph.
Yes.
And then just all those moments sprinkled throughout the film. One of the other bridesmaids is talking about how she has three boys and there's semen everywhere. She cracked a blanket in half. And it's like, that's right, Mom. I'm a boy.
Right? Remember, my awkward teenage years?
Right?
And then, of course, Melissa McCarthy shits everywhere.
Oh, yeah, the whole shitting scene.
Yeah.
Just so many awkward moments like that, and just nobody wants to laugh, and everybody is just regretting this decision. It's like, I finally had to be like, well, I'm tired. I'm going to bed.
See, that's one of the things, like, you and I and people, our contemporaries can watch, because it's like, oh, my God, I've got three boys. There's semen everywhere. It's like, yeah. We're all of the same age, and we went through these things at the same time.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Oh, weddings. Many friends of ours are wedded, and here we are.
And I assume my mom and her friends can watch that together. Yeah. And like, remember how? The exact same thing.
Yeah, it's that age gap in this really can be a fickle bitch.
Yeah. Not even a fickle bitch. It's just a bitch.
It's a big old bitch.
Yeah, that's right.
Man. Yeah, I mean, I know I went over to my mom's house and I saw a copy of Bridesmaids there. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, Bridesmaids. She's like, yeah, it was really funny. I'm like, sure was. Moving right along.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
I don't want to get into the specifics of the comedy, but I'm glad you had a good time, Mom.
Yep.
Because I did too.
Oh, boy. So that's my number three, watching Bridesmaids with the mama.
Okay. Fair enough. So Justin's number two is going to be Maya Rudolph.
All right.
Actually, another movie I've never seen. This is going to be Eyes Wide Shut.
Never seen it.
But this is the Stanley Kubrick-directed Tom Cruise, Nicole Kidman mask sex movie.
Say no more.
I mean, once you're going to, like, super private freaky sex parties wearing masks and you're a Stanley Kubrick movie,
mm-hmm.
That is a recipe for disaster. Yeah. Not on the old bucket list to watch with the in-laws.
Sure.
No, thank you.
No, thank you.
Also not on the list to watch with the in-laws is a little movie called Old Boy.
I have not seen this movie.
Do you know what happens in Old Boy?
I assume there's a boy. He gets old. He dies.
Boy, you don't know.
No, I don't.
Are you opposed to me telling you what happens?
Nope.
Okay. I had heard nothing but rave reviews for Old Boy. It won a bunch of these kind of independent movie awards, and Quentin Tarantino spoke really highly about it. And it's just really, really highly rated. I forget if it's Korean or Vietnamese. It's I forget. But very, very one of the like the best movies to come out of this region in years. And so I watched it maybe about a year ago. And I, for some reason, I thought it was this like action-packed. I don't know. I kept hearing about the action scenes being so good. The basic concept of this movie is this guy gets like drugged on the street. And then he gets put into this room, this like basically one, like a hotel room essentially. And he is in there for like 15 years.
Okay.
He's not allowed to leave. He gets gassed at random times. Like it's like this kind of pseudo torture isolation chamber thing. And like it's very strange. He eventually gets out. And then he goes on this quest to find out who, like, much of the movie, at least half the movie, is him just in this room by himself. Then he goes on this quest to find out who put him in this room. And while he's in the room, there's parts that you don't want to watch with your parents anyway. Like, he starts jerking off at one point in there.
Oh, yeah.
You don't want that. Like, he gets assaulted a couple of times. Like, he's naked, I believe. Like, there's stuff like I don't need to see that stuff with my parents.
Mm-hmm.
Then there are some pretty cool action sequences, and they're very violent.
Mm-hmm.
So then if your parents aren't into that kind of thing, you've got a really violent several scenes coming at you. And then this is where it doesn't matter if you like violence, if you don't like violence, if you like sex, if you don't like sex, doesn't matter for the end of this movie. Because you're not gonna like watching it with your parents. Guaranteed. Because what we come to find out, and again, if you don't want the spoilers for Old Boy, go ahead a couple of minutes. What we find out is the guy who put him in this, so basically this hotel room thing, you can pay to put people there. It's just like a, you know, a black market thing.
Mm-hmm.
The guy that paid to put him in there is this very successful business person. And the guy that was in the jail walked in on this dude and his sister, like, making out when they were in high school or something like that. And he, our main character, like, left. He's like, oh, man. He's like, these two were hooking up and they're brother and sister. Oh, whatever. And I guess, like, he didn't know they were brother and sister. He's just like, oh, these guys were hooking up. Everyone's like, oh, my God, those two are brother and sister. The sister is ashamed and because, excuse me, the brother, like, loves her. The sister kills herself.
Mm-hmm.
So this, our villain of the story, if you will, the guy that now has his sister killed, he makes it his life's work to get back at this guy for killing his sister, essentially. So what he does is once our hero escapes from the hotel room, he meets this like this waitress at a whatever restaurant, and they kind of hit it off, and they get together, and now like they're in love. And that's when our villain reveals that the girl that she just hooked up with is his daughter.
Oh, my God.
The daughter that he is searching so hard to find is the woman that he loves, quote, and that he has had sex with. So, you find out now you've got incest times two going on, both willingly and unwillingly. Then our hero, in an attempt to make sure that our villain doesn't tell the girl, he offers to kill himself. And instead, he's like, no, it's not good enough. Our hero cuts his own tongue out in front of our villain. Cuts his tongue out as a penance and as a promise to never say anything to anyone ever again. So our villain then feels justified. Now he's accomplished what he needs to accomplish. And he walks into the elevator and he shoots himself in the head. And then our hero goes to like therapy or something and like to kind of like brainwash him to forget about this. And you see him with the girl again. It is super ultra fucked up at the end of this movie. Super mega fucked up. And again, this kind of goes with the American Psycho part where once the movie is over, it begs a lot of questions. So you kind of have to talk about it. You're like, oh, God, now I have to go even deeper into this world with my in-laws. It's fucking awful. It's a tough movie to watch by yourself or like with your wife or your like a friend and they're like, man, what weird choices. But to watch all of that with, you know, the older generation or whatever. Oh, dude, nightmare. And again, this is one I see that's very realistic because like, man, this has won so many awards. I've heard really good things about this movie. Let's watch this. And had I not known this like a year ago, but yeah, I heard good things too. Let's watch this. That's the other reason it's on the list, is because the potential is so high.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. It's a lot, man.
Yowza. This. I don't know what to say.
Yeah.
I'm happy to say I can't really relate to either side. So that's good.
So I got that going for me.
Yeah. So that's a plus. And I feel like I don't need to see the movie.
Yeah, it's tough, man. It's a tough watch.
Whew, boy. So that's your number two?
That's my number two.
What's your number one? A snuff film?
Well, yeah, but we'll get there.
Oh, okay.
It's a specific snuff film.
Wow. So my number two, it's not Old Boy. It's definitely not Old Boy. My number two is a little more juvenile than Old Boy. It's a little movie that I know that we both love. It's called South Park. Bigger, longer, and uncut. Just the title of the movie. I don't want to read aloud to my mom. Of course, this movie is very juvenile humor, even at the best. There's a song called Shut Your Fucking Face, Uncle Fucker. I can't watch that song with my mom. Kyle's mom's a bitch. He's a big bad bitch. I can't watch that with my mom.
She's the biggest bitch in the whole wide world.
Yeah. The Stanley's always trying to find the clitoris. That's his
Stanley.
What's
his Stan, name? Baby.
Stan, man.
I know. It's not Stanley.
I use his full name. Stan's trying to find the clitoris of the whole movie. There's vomit. There's gross shit in the whole movie. Saddam Hussein and the devil are having sex in the movie.
Yeah, and he
there's
holds up animated
big old fake
dildos.
Dicks.
Yeah.
Kenny, when he... spoiler alert for fucking South Park. Kenny flies into heaven. There's big old tits everywhere.
Yeah.
Just all... This whole movie is made for like, people... For peers,
sure.
Shall we say. Not for my mom's peers, for our peers.
Also at the end of the movie when Cartman starts saying, I think it's, blood-soaked tampon popsicle!
Yeah, that's bad too.
No, not, okay,
that's,
not up your mom's
that's
alley?
Not, nope, not, okay. Didn't like that. Yeah, because my mom, I feel like I should explain my mom a little bit. She likes... easy watchings like Big Bang Theory, 2.5 Men, Everybody Loves Raymond, you know, those shows made for people like my mom, just something to throw on the background, and just the Glee. She loved all of Glee, not even ironically, she loved it.
she just loved it.
And so having her sit down and watch South Park with me would just end terribly.
Okay,
so
it's too bad to hear that, because South Park, Bigger, Longer, Uncut is probably a top 3 comedy all time for me.
It's pretty great.
I love it.
And I just imagine myself laughing my ass off, and her just like, I don't get it.
We shouldn't say fuck no, we shouldn't say fuck, fuck no, you're cute, you can go.
Come on, Mom, Kyle's mom's a bitch.
Right?
Come on.
The fart duo in Uncle Fucker?
Yeah, exactly. Come on, Mom, isn't that hilarious? No, she wouldn't dig it.
Not your mama's humor.
Not my mama's humor.
Not your mama's
humor. Maybe my dad's humor. But definitely not my mom's or stepdad's humor.
Okay. You know what? Actually, oh, farts.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for censoring your language.
I just realized my true number one, and everything should have been bumped one.
That's funny you say that. I actually threw out my original number 2 because I realized my real number 1.
I just realized it. You know, I'm going to have to say them both then. I'm going to say them both. But okay. That's okay. Because I have, it has to, because it took too long, but I just got it in under the gun here.
Okay.
All right. So your number 2
was, what was it? It was South Park.
Yeah.
Bigger, longer, uncut. Like a dick. That was a joke.
Oh.
Yeah, did you get it now?
Oh. Justin's number 1 is Basic Instinct.
Okay.
Nothing like getting a little Sharon Stone, the JJ, all up in your parents' face to pass the time.
Oh, sure. Especially on the big screen, wide screen.
Very, very.
Yeah, HD.
All right. But I want to get to my duo number 1 pick real quick.
Okay.
So this is the one I left off the list. This is for me specifically in my situation. My parents-in-laws, my in-laws, they are very religious folk. Very religious folk. Devout Catholics, which is totally fine. I am not.
Mm-hmm.
The worst thing I could take them to.
Can I guess?
We'll say the same time. 3, 2, 1, we'll say it.
Okay.
3, 2, 1.
Dogma.
Book of
okay.
Dogma would be great, too.
Yeah, yeah.
But Book of Mormon would be the worst thing. They're not Mormon, but if you just use the word God as God in general, as they say it, as opposed to the Mormon God or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean,
there's a song in there.
There is one of the lyrics that goes on repeat in one of the initial songs is, "Fuck you, God, in your ass, mouth, and cunt. Fuck you, God, in your ass, mouth, and cunt. Fuck you in the eye."
Where are you going, Holly's parents?
Because when I went to go see Book of Mormon the first time, several people got up and left at that point, which is only like 15 minutes into the show anyway.
Yeah.
So they would be sitting through torture for much of that movie. Much of the movie.
Yeah.
So I know, again, it's not Catholic, but it's Mormon, but it's good enough.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to – that's my quick little what should be really high on my list. Instead, this is a more all-encompassing number 1. whether you're Christian, Jewish, black, white, whatever, this is an equal opportunity awful night with the in-laws.
I can't wait.
Because again, this is similar to Old Boy, where people will have heard good things.
I'm sorry, is this the one that was originally on your list?
This still is my number one.
Okay.
I just had to throw in a quick honorable mention for Book of Mormon.
Got it.
Because again, you've probably heard good things. Because actually, it is a very impactful and very it's a good film that you probably only want to watch once.
Yeah.
And this movie is Requiem for a Dream.
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
Nope.
Okay.
But I know enough about it.
So for those who know Requiem of a Dream, basic idea: you've got kind of like it's telling the story of four people at once. They're all related. It's like a guy and his girlfriend and his best friend.
Oh, so it's like Love Actually.
Just like Love Actually.
Awesome.
If all the young people were, the three younger characters, were addicted to heroin.
Great.
Right. And they decided to buy heroin and sell it so they could pursue their dreams, but started shooting it up instead and got in trouble.
So it's just like Love Actually.
Just like Love Actually. Well, in the meantime, Jared Leto, who's your main character, his mom is delusional and thinks that she's going to be going on this television show and gets addicted to diet pills.
Ooh.
So she can look good for America and starts to lose her mind. Whereas Jared Leto gets even more and more hopelessly addicted to heroin, loses his girlfriend. His girlfriend then starts having sex with random dudes in front of random dudes at like sex parties to get heroin. And then if his buddy didn't get busted with heroin and they get put in prison and start getting beaten in prison by like racist guards. And this all culminates.
So this sounds more like New Year's Eve now.
It's getting closer.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're starting to see these people's lives fall apart. This movie is shot in such a way that it is very jumpy. There's a lot of... There's a million cuts in this movie. You never get settled in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And this all kind of culminates in this montage section where everyone hits rock bottom at the same time. And it's this montage of it. So what happens to each of them is the mother, who is losing her mind, they cannot treat her with medication anymore. They start giving her electroshock therapy, where they put the thing in her mouth and they hook up the big electrodes to either side of her forehead and start shooting a million volts through her head. So you see that. At the same time, you see one of the Wayans brothers, I forget which Wayan it is, he is in prison and getting just berated racially with slurs and whatnot from the racist prison guards. His buddy Jared Leto has shot up so much heroin into his arm that it is literally rotting on his body, and his veins have turned black. Oh, and what happens to him? That's right, his left arm gets amputated. That's right, he loses two-thirds of his arm, and he's so sick with withdrawal he almost dies. In the meantime, the gorgeous, gorgeous girlfriend, the girl from Beautiful Mind,
Octavia Spencer,
Kim
Kardashian,
Connelly,
okay,
Connelly,
Jennifer Connelly,
thank you, Jennifer Connelly. Jennifer Connelly, who is gorgeous in this movie. She's so beautiful. She leaves Jared Leto. She gets invited now to this sex party where these rich white and black dudes put her up on this table with these other girls, and they all just like throw money at her and give her drugs as they do illicit acts to one another. And the culmination of this, right after he loses the arm, you see one like older, rich white guy in his black suit, and he goes ass to ass.
That's the only thing I knew about this movie.
Yeah, and that's where Jennifer Connelly is now. Excuse, this is even graphic for us on the show, but this is what happens in the movie, and this is why it is so incredibly awful to watch this with your in-laws. Jennifer Connelly is then. I'm just telling you the facts. She is ass to ass with another girl with a double-sided dildo going at it with each other. Hey, everybody! Are you sure you wanted to watch this movie? Are we sure this was the one? Why didn't we watch Elf? Why couldn't we?
Especially at Christmas time.
I mean, guys,
Yeah, you boy.
It is a very, it's a really good film depicting these people's lives falling apart. As a film, it's really well done. It's very interesting. It is a good film. It is a film you want to watch one time. And let me tell you, that one time is not to be had with your parents or your in-laws or anyone of that ilk.
Sure.
My God. Because I just rewatched that like 3-minute montage thing before I came, just because it's been a long time since I watched it, to like refresh.
Just to get yourself in the mood for the podcast.
And my God, just those 3 minutes made me physically ill. It's so awful. It's so awful for those people. So horrible.
I've heard so much about this movie. I honestly kind of want to see it, even though I know exactly what happens in it.
It's a very good movie.
Yeah.
And one more quick little tangent about it. The first time I started watching this movie, I was in high school, and I was over at this girl's house, and like it was like I was totally going over there to put the moves on.
Yeah.
And like she was like, this movie, like whatever. She's like, oh yeah, my brother was watching. Let's turn this movie on. I was like, yeah, okay, whatever. I'm bored about getting busy.
But afterwards, spanky panky, baby.
Spanky panky time. And so like we started like kissing a little bit on the couch or whatever, and then it was like, it was already like halfway through the movie when we started. And then I turned to see Jared Leto's arm like rotting and like people like screaming in pain. And both she and I were like, total mood killer here.
Yeah.
Total buzzkill.
Oh, yeah.
That put the brakes on that. Well, forever.
Yeah.
Forever.
You never spanky panked?
Never the spankage pankage.
No, no, man.
So my number one, Requiem with a Dream. Oh, sorry, Requiem for a Dream. Excuse me.
Thank you. There is a Requiem and a Dream are skipping down a lane here.
La 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 la.
My number one is just came to me as right before you did. I did my number two. My number one is any episode of the TV show Oz.
Ooh.
Because let alone a season of the show. Not only so Oz, for those of you who don't know, is a show about this really, really brutal prison wing called Emerald City, or Oz. And every single episode, it seems, there's somebody getting prison raped, maybe more than once. There's murder. There's a whole bunch of racial slurs, drug use, all just everything awful happens in every single episode. And again, just explain my mom. She likes easy viewings. Let's watch some King of Queens. Hold on, Mom. Let's watch this little HBO show I know about, set in a prison. Oh, no. What is that guy doing to that other? Oh, no.
Where's the laugh track?
I think the first episode of the second season, spoiler for the show, one dude bites another dude's dick off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, hold on. Was that Oz or was that the second season of Big Bang Theory?
It was. Sorry, you're right. That was right. Sheldon bit off. That was right.
That's right.
And then he said, bazinga. And then, no.
Laugh track. Applause.
So in Oz, he bites off the dude's dick. It's all in silhouette. And the guy rises up and spits out the head of the dick. That happens.
I see in your list you have a lot of genital disfigurement, mutilation.
Well, I don't want to see anything with genitals with my mom.
Okay? Much less ones getting disfigured.
Yeah. Sure. Did that make, I guess, Hard Candy had that. Yeah. Porky's had the dick pulling scene. Yep. You're right. There's a running theme here.
Yeah.
Bridesmaids. Well, there's got to be some in there. Deleted scenes.
I'm sure.
Yeah, man. It's just a brutal show. There's a scene in third season, maybe. This dude, there's this faux wrestling match between these two dudes. This dude starts breaking every single limb of this other dude. Just both his arms, both his legs. He winds up in a body cast. There is an episode of the show where this guy infects another guy on purpose with HIV from a needle. Like, it is just such a brutal fucking show. I don't want to watch this with my mom. I think it'd be terrible, and I think it would scar her for life.
Wow.
It would strong, take 10 years off her life.
Strong, strong number one right there.
Ooh,
and
man.
Again, it's not that our parents / in-laws, whatever, it's not that they aren't mature people that can handle mature subject matter. That is not the problem.
Sure.
There's something different with a... And with my mom and with me, you know, there's this protective quality, you know? We're like, I don't want my mom to, like, I want to protect my mother. Like, I don't want her to see dudes raping each other in prison, whatever. My mom wants to protect me. I'm her only son. Like, I don't want my in-laws to be like, oh, so this is what you and my daughter do. You go home and you watch guys have their arms amputated because they shoot too much heroin. Is that the kind of, like, no, that's not... No, usually their arms stay on. They're just totally coked out. That's all.
One honorable mention that would have made my list for one scene, but I haven't seen the whole movie. I've just seen scenes, is this little indie film, not widely known, called The Brown Bunny. Have you heard of this?
No.
It would have made my list for one reason. There is a scene near the very end of the film where I think the actress is Chloe Sevigny. I think that's how you say your name. She gives a non-simulated, so a real blowjob, to her then-boyfriend. And it lasts for minutes. And then he finishes, and she swallows, and that's in the movie. This movie isn't a porno, by the way. It's a for-real indie film. But that scene just pops up near the end. Just a 3.5-minute blowjob. To completion.
Okie dokie.
Yeah. So that's my honorable mention.
Yeah, and obviously I think it goes without saying we left porn off the list because that's a pretty easy top five to fill.
Sure, sure.
So in review, my top five, I started out with The Room. We went to American Psycho. We went to Freddy Got Fingered.
Oof.
Then the real knockout 1-2 punch of Old Boy and Requiem for a Dream.
Yeah, man, that's tough. My number 5 is Hard Candy. My number 4 is Porky's. My number 3 is Bridesmaids. My number 2 was South Park, Bigger, Longer, and Uncut. My number 1 is any episode of the TV show Oz.
And real quick, Justin, the guy who gave us this top 5 to really take us down awkward lane. Justin's number 5 was Secretary. Number 4, The Wolf of Wall Street. Number 3, Girl with a Dragon Tattoo. Number 2, Eyes Wide Shut. Number 1, Basic Instinct. You know, maybe we have to have Justin on in person at some point.
What?
I know.
Ooh.
I mean, again. Breaking the mold.
All right, guys, please. We could only name 5 each, including Justin. So there are so many others out there that we would hate to watch with our parents, grandparents.
Or your parents. Oh, God. Or your grandparents.
If your grandparents came to my apartment, first of all, I'd welcome them with open arms.
Hello, Grandpa Newton Gaines.
Please, write us in what top 5 you would hate to watch with your parents, grandparents, in-laws. You can leave a comment here on oneofus.net. You can email us at how many times have I said this and I'm screwing it up? You can email us at 5playnet@gmail.com.
And like Wes said, we'd love to hear what you guys have to say about this top 5 or maybe some awkward experiences maybe you have had with parents, in-laws, whatever that may be. Those are always good as well. Also, this was a friend/listener-submitted top 5. If there's a top 5 you'd like to hear us do in the future, by all means, please, we'd love to hear your ideas on that as well. And until next time, I'm Steve.
I'm Wes.
That was 5.
And we're out!